going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
That is Benjamin Chase. We are ready to rock and talk about pitching tonight. That's right.
Pitchers.
The three cover boys for tonight's show, Ben, are Bubba Chandler, Caden Dana, and was that other guy?
I honestly don't remember who you used. I looked at it earlier.
I can't remember the third guy. Oh, my gosh. I wanted
to apologize to you, third guy.
Yes. I'm so sorry. We're focusing mainly on AAA tonight. Yeah, I picked one from – I wanted to at least have the Pacific Coast League and the International League represented, so yeah. I thought there was more options in the International, which is usually the case anyways. But either way
– pitchers look a lot better in the International League.
Absolutely. Eddie's here.
Hey,
Eddie's
Eddie.
Good.
Eddie, it looks like you have been here for a while.
It is indeed.
Doing what he does best.
Eddie has some great questions lined up for us already.
He's in the zone.
Probably should get on our horses and get into the new stuff right away here, Mike.
Let's do it, man. Let's party.
So, first thing is sad news. Tristan Casas ruptured his knee drum, which really does not sound like a pleasant thing. But he is out for the season. And unfortunately, he was just starting to pick things up, which really makes it tough for Casas owners who sat all day long or all season long and thought that, oh, finally I'm going to get, and then no more.
Nope.
So the big question is, who's moving to first base in Boston? And I thought I was going to look this up. See, this is the magic of the show right now. And I was going to say, I thought that Boston was off tonight because I had it in my brain. Oh, I could just look up and see who they started tonight. But they are off tonight, so they ruined this for me. But one thing that has been brought up by some people I really trust and respect is that Christian Campbell could be a really good person for this. Campbell has kind of your ideal size for a big first baseman. He's 6'3". He's about 220. He's a lot more athletic than your usual first baseman, but he's got the size. He's got the flexibility to stretch, all that. And the other thing that this does for Boston is it takes Campbell out of the outfield and middle infield mix, which is really clusterfucked for them right now. So it would allow them to kind of clean that up a little bit. And potentially get, interestingly enough, in AAA, the last five games, Vaughn Grissom has played first base.
Oh, boy, here we go.
So who knows what's going on there? Robbie typed into the notes, Toro time. Abraham Toro could be an option.
I like this one. It's not going to happen, but yeah, give me some Hamilton.
Well, first. And that's The thing that I'd heard a lot is if Campbell goes to first, Marcelo Meyer has been looking really good. Trevor Story has kind of hit the struggle bus. Maybe this is the time to bring up Meyer and have him play short three times a week and second a couple of times a week just to get him into the lineup and give Story a few days off a week just until Story is hitting again. And then at that point, maybe Meyer is showing that, hey, I'm the better overall shortstop right now. I understand you're paying more to this other guy, but if his bat is finally waking up and he can handle the turn at second, well. But this is going to be a little bit of a mess because last year, if you remember, the Red Sox made a trade that sent away Nico Cavadas, who is one guy I did not list on all of this.
AFL hype man.
Yes, but he's a legit first baseman, as in he can stand there and catch a ball. I would not expect him to do much else. But he's also a guy who can hit like a first baseman when he's really on his game. I don't think he's he actually just got called up to Anaheim.
He did.
Yeah, and so he is. But last I saw, he had not played a moment yet. So Cavadas is not really doing anything right now. But this could be a major news thing for fantasy sports, just because
absolutely.
Whoever takes that job, I mean, if they move Rafael Devers there, that all of a sudden opens up DH for a lot of other things. You know, there's just a lot of options here that could really do some interesting things for fantasy sports.
Isn't that right, Robbie?
Welcome, Robbie.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey! What's up, buddy?
Nothing, guys. I just decided to do a quick little update on my computer 25 minutes later. It finished the formula update.
Oh,
I thought I had time. I was putting the kid to bed, and I said, I'll do this. I'll go upstairs with him. I'll come back down, blah, blah, blah. Patiently waiting. So when Ben said he was going to be a few minutes late, I thought, perfect, because so am I. But, I've been waiting for this to load up.
He was barely a minute late.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, well,
I came straight home and wrote up my story instead of actually going into the office. So
yeah, that's fine.
But, Robbie, you got here just in time to talk about Gunnar Hoglund.
Oh,
because
yeah.
That was a sexy start.
Gunnar!
For a first start.
DJ kind of asked off, right?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yes, and by the way, I saw that PA posted AJ Smith-Shawver now officially through four with a no hitter. So just saying, you know, not saying just saying.
No, wouldn't be Monday night without a Braves update.
Woo! Yeah, I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, you know, it is against the Reds, mind you, but still, you know, that means
they
got to get
up 24.
I was just going to say, that means he's got to get out some guys who actually know how to hit the baseball, too. So,
but Gunnar Hoglund. We Gunnar excited, Hoglund. Robbie? Go to bed?
No, not at all. Because I was listening to the Welsh talk about him last week, randomly live streaming for any of those, you know, in this league. He talked about nothing looking impressive in the minor league statistics for him and how that logically just won't. He's not just going to come up and find a strike zone and sort it out. He's not going to change one thing and all of a sudden have an excellent ground ball rate. He has been an underperforming prospect until this year. Oakland's playing the hot hand. Good on Oakland. Do that, max that out, and let's just see if they can keep rolling. But they are going to get steamrolled early this week playing the Mariners, who as soon as I got rid of JP Crawford, he woke up. And the rest of the lineup, Leo Rivas, who I've been so excited for. He is my David Hamilton, Govier. And I'm just having my slight little quick moment in the sun with him before it all comes crashing down. But
hey, Stephen Hamilton's most leagues now, he's some action over the weekend. He stole some bases.
I did. And he hit the baseball a few times this weekend. and that leads into the big bat, Abraham Toro coming in to save the day for Boston, because at some point he's got to have a really good stretch in MLB, right?
Yeah, Ben already mentioned that. You put
and why
that
not
in the
now?
We covered what's his face? Yeah.
I know. We had to go back because I still pay for him in a league, and I will be for two more years. So it'd be nice if he could do something. So, yeah, Eddie, nobody should be a big fan of it. It's not, this is not some guy who's locked in here, Gunnar Hoglund.
Kind of sounds like Sandy Alcantara. I wish he would just do something. Is that kind of along those lines? Because
hey, I went all in on playing him tonight.
Five runs to the Dodgers.
Oh man, I bought into a story real quick. I posted this on Twitter a couple hours ago. Back in 2022, during his Cy Young year, he faced the Dodgers back-to-back in this exact same scenario that he did. He was at L.A., and got ripped for six earned runs, then came home to Miami the following start, just like he's doing now, and he pitched nine innings, gave up one earned run, struck out 10. But that was not the case today.
That's not the case tonight. So our next guy we're going to talk about, they've already answered my first question tonight. We'll see how this works going forward. The Giants brought up left-handed pitcher Kyle Harrison, who was once a top prospect. He's frankly, he would be a very high mention in our AAA performers so far, because he has really pitched quite well so far in the PCL, which is not very common. But I don't know what role they're going to use him in. They did start Landon Rupp still again tonight. I don't know what that means.
Bullpen.
Yeah, you know. they've said that he's going to be pitching in the bullpen, but is he going to be somebody brought up the idea that he's going to be in the bullpen, but they're going to have Jordan Hicks start and go 2-3.
Oh.
And then have Harrison behind him for four. So it could be a long relief guy that's pitching once or twice a week is all, which I don't know. With his stuff in the bullpen as a true bullpen arm, that would kind of be a sexy bullpen arm, because he really could be a pretty solid reliever that get you some solds and get you a little bit of a pretty good strikeout rate from a middle reliever. And plus he'd have starting pitcher eligibility for those leagues who force you to put a guy into the starting pitcher role. You could roll him in. You could roll him right in and he'd give you numbers throughout the week when you don't have a starter going, which is always a nice thing to have. But
the worst part of that idea, though, Ben, the worst part of that idea is the dynasty players out there who are just cringing at the thought of him not being, you know, a rotation piece, and, you know, people that were so highly, or he was so highly thought of even last year, thinking like he righted the ship, or not righted. He was never really wrong, but he was in the rotation. He was, you know, cutting his teeth and all that stuff. And now to think that it's like, we're just going to push out for this guy. Rupp, who, you know, isn't that great. We brought in Robbie Ray a year ago and he was recovering, and all these things, all these like little pieces that have pushed him out of the way don't seem like the right thing from an organizational standpoint. But that's also what happens when you swap out guys at the top who are not the ones who drafted these players and, you know, weren't instrumental in their development and things like that. They may have given them a shot, but they were like, yeah, we need a guy because we spent millions on this other guy. So league minimum Kyle Harrison last year is not the same guy as league minimum Kyle Harrison this year, as far as the Giants front office is concerned. So he'll have to earn, like he'll have to be just immaculate to get in the good graces, and of course have something happen. So redrafters, like, you don't want to touch him. If you're in deep enough dynasty leagues, like Ben mentioned for the SPRP, that can be a big factor too. But like, his stock's going to go down in dynasty.
If you're in a quality start league, you hate this. Yeah, if you're in a wins league, you love it, because there's a good chance the role he's in, he's probably going to vulture quite a few wins.
Wow,
maybe,
dude.
Maybe not quite Jorge Lopez level wins, but you know, he's going to vulture some wins.
It's much better than him sitting around AAA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's Kyle Harrison apologizing to everyone. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, thanks here on the Prospects Power Hour, live with Benjamin Chase, Robbie Baseball, myself, MJ Govier. We're all on Twitter, on Blue Sky, or whatever the hell we are at, whatever we're on the screen.
This next bit of news gave Govier a sad day. Other than the fact that Royce Lewis is coming back, which is fun for as long as it lasts, and we'll just keep saying that. Byron Buxton has played all year so far this year, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Now, I mean, he's striking out. I think he leads the league in strikeouts.
That's fine. But, you know, for fantasy with no Ks, he's been very serviceable.
He's quite good.
Even running more.
But Mickey Gasper and Edouard Julian were sent down for Lewis and Willie Castro to come back. So, and of course, me being the smart guy I am, I bid my highest bid this weekend in TGFBI on Brooks Lee. So I don't know where Brooks Lee is going to be playing now. Which,
oh man,
sugar.
Sorry, buddy. It happens. Julian's a bummer, man. I remember seeing him in person at AFL a couple years ago. He was in the Home Run Derby fun thing they were doing for their little All-Star thing, and it was exciting. And I thought he had great plate discipline that he would. 2 years from now, in this moment, he would be an everyday guy that you could play regularly in fantasy and OBP leagues, and that has just not happened. I wonder if it's partly the Twins' fault, though. I do wonder.
Well, I don't know that they knew how to handle him. He is a not good defender. And look at, in all seriousness, he is the OBP version of what Luis Arias was. And they just did not know what to do with him. And they eventually traded him away, which they did get. They got great value out of Luis Arias.
Yeah.
But they just did not know what to do with a guy who has that kind of one tool skill. And Julian has got a little power to add on top of the on-base, but it's really just on-base and power, and he's a bad defender wherever
he homered to start last week, hitting leadoff, and now he's in AAA this week. I mean, that's life. In a nutshell, by the way. Gimme Two, says Eddie. Whoops, that's not Gimme Two. I want to give it to you. There you go, buddy. Just for you, Eddie. Gimme Two. Thank you.
I do need to remind everybody, Ben, I think specifically you, that last year on this very podcast, you were saying sell, sell, sell on Julian because Minnesota did not have a place for him and they did not value him highly. And I went into this offseason holding true to that. And a few times when the opportunity came up to potentially have him, I ditched the opportunity to get him in the trade offers, saying, I don't know what he's going to do in Minnesota. He seems like he's not valued within that organization as he could be elsewhere, and he's not moving. And the Twins have this horrible thing of like not moving guys at peak times, almost not to the Colorado level. No one's that good at it.
No.
But,
Tours.
Yeah, they just seem to find a way to clog positions. You know, we've seen it with the outfield for years. And then
they do
have guys underperform when they need them to step up and take a position.
Bring in Jonah Bride. Keep them all coming. Yeah, they just keep signing guys, which I get. You know, injuries happen, but yeah.
So I think one of the things here, Julian only got the chance to start the year this year because Luke Kuechel and Brooks Lee and Royce Lewis were all dinged up to start the year. I think if any one of those three isn't dinged up, he's not there because Mickey Gasper would still get that shot because he's more of your Kyle Farmer type of guy. And then once all those guys were healthy, Gasper would be the one going down. So I think Julian was only on this team because those guys were all hurt opening the year. And now that they're all getting healthy-ish, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have Kuechel, but now that you've got Brooks Lee and Royce Lewis and Willie Castro all back, there's just absolutely nowhere to play Julian. And plus, Ty France is actually hitting.
He is.
So, I mean,
you were concerned. You remember we talked about this, Ben, a couple weeks ago, and you didn't. You said it would be Julian or France, and it looks like Julian lost out. So,
yeah, and he did. Which, you know, part of that is because France has hit enough. He hasn't been setting the world on fire, but he's hit enough, and so.
And on that team, that's actually kind of above average right now. Unfortunately,
I mean, yeah, especially they're missing Matt Wallner and, they're missing some guys.
They got a couple back this week, so we'll see if the Twins can pick it up, but it also won't change their pitching. Anywho, who's next?
Brash Knuckles is back and with the knuckle curve and one of my favorite middle relievers to own ever since he came up to the major leagues. Honestly, have held on to him in like three different leagues, one of which I don't even get holds just because I love his ratio so stinking much as a reliever, because this is a guy that's going to give you like 14K per nine. So he's going to drastically help you if you have like a Miles Michaelis in your starting rotation. This is a guy that's going to help you with that balance. So. But we've been waiting a year and a half on Brash. A year at least. Yeah.
And it was, I think, 3 years ago that everyone was very excited about him as a pop-up prospect starter. And then as soon as everybody settled into him being potentially of use, we started to get the injuries and stuff. So, but in actual important news, everybody, Govier's first round pick in 30-team points league finally got called up. Although you are locked at second base, so I don't know why we don't open a conversation about
we need to talk to the front office about who made those choices.
Best available player, right? Him got called up, and the Dodgers,
he's got two steals already.
Yeah, so the Dodgers are being kind of coy with him over the weekend.
I started him.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Well, I was that desperate. It was that or Tyler Wade. And I figure why not.
Hey, deep leagues, baby. That's deep. But yeah, so he's up, and now we'll get to see him in AAA. And nobody would say he was, you know, beating the level or anything, but he certainly caught on and was stealing a ton of bags. I think he had 12 stolen bases. So if the Dodgers are going to come up and say, you are elite speed to us, let's put you in the right position. Great. I mean, I still think this is a really good contact Luis Ariz type guy, as I've mentioned before. Obviously, there's a league change from going international to coming to MLB, but he's young. He's got, what, a 3-year $12 million or 4-year $12 million contract. So nothing crazy. That's why LA didn't mind putting him down to start the year with those options. And it's good. It's good to see him up, because it kind of sucked when they took the old guys and ran with it, and friggin' Taylor still kicking around there. And oh man,
this is essentially Chandler Simpson skills, but about a 60 grade speed instead of an 88 grade speed.
Sure.
But I mean, a very good runner, very good defender at shortstop, second base, up the middle there, and then also some good contact. Might not be the guy. I mean, that might bug you on fantasy, because he's probably not with the Dodgers. He might, well, I guess, I don't know. They're letting certain people run. Will the Dodgers, will Dave Roberts let him run? Because it's been kind of a thing where they kind of pick and choose who gets to run. Otani's
dead. He stood there like fouls by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out.
Yeah, well, standing around.
They do let their Asians run. We know the one in their lineup. They let that guy go. But speaking of run, Kobe Mayo ran happily up to the big club, and it looks like he should have a position for a while to come, and ideally ever, if he can really earn it. So what's our honest expectation? I would love a 250, 310 May for him for average and OBP, and let him get adjusted. I don't want to see the 190, the one, you know, whatever we've been seeing with other guys coming up getting defeated.
I kind of wonder, and this is, you know, and yes, you're going to, you know, get on my case with a Braves comment here, but I would love to see the Austin Riley rookie year path for him right now.
No shit. We all would.
Well, no. But see, I don't think a lot of folks remember that. The overall numbers for Riley that year were great, but you forget that he went through a month of holy shit, and then went through 2 months of can't hit anything, to the point where he got sent down to AAA again, and then they made a couple of adjustments. He came back, he finished the year strong, and it was a pretty good overall number, but it took that path to get there, and I think that would be really good for Mayo to be able to do. There is just nothing more for him to learn in AAA. He needs to fail in the majors in order to find out that he has something to work on in the majors. That's just, it is what it is. So
was that, Ben, was 19, that was his Riley's rookie year. Was that the year the Braves were in the playoffs and he was smoking balls very hard, but he had like a horrible playoff average? Although, I mean, maybe
against the Dodgers, if I remember right, he had a really good series, but nothing.
Man. Fell. Yeah, he just wasn't getting it. And I remember that was when I was doing Dingers with Ty, and he was like, he looked really good, although the line looked like crap. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been 2020, because that was the COVID shortened year. But anyway.
Well, they played the Dodgers to go to the series that year, I believe, too, or else in the playoffs at some point that year in 2020. But that was another, because that I believe 2020 is the year that Acuna hit the big monstrous home run. So, against them, but anyway,
Let's talk about a third round pick from 2019.
Woohoo! Tyler Callahan! Callahan Auto Parts. Oh, wait. No. That's a whole different
thing. Kids be safe when you take them for a ride.
So he plays for the Reds for everybody who's wondering what in the hell we're laughing at. And if you don't know Tommy Boy, you're just not going to get everything.
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah,
come on.
But anyway, so triple A.
Brothers don't shake hands around here. I mean,
that's right. Brothers got a hug. 89 exactly. At bats in triple A, 303, 410, 528 line. He stole six bags, had four ding a dongs, and now he's up with the Reds. Is this the same thing we can expect, or is he going to be bench and playing and, you know, hot hand idea?
He's going to be that hot hand guy, but man, has he developed into a lot different player than I would have ever imagined when he was drafted. This is a guy who I saw, and I saw him as a very similar development path as someone like Alex Kirilloff. That long, lanky body, going to fill into it some and become, you know, hopefully a contact and doubles machine type of hitter. And he's actually maintained a ton of speed, and he's athletic as heck in the outfield. Every time I watch him, I'm just like, this is not the guy I thought we were getting, you know, 5 years ago, but that's okay.
Mike saying hello, Robert. Yes, you're Robert to Mike. That's fine.
Hello, Mr. Virginia.
Thank you, Mike.
Other news. Houston, who cheated, never forget. AJ Blueball up, sent back down. Noah Cameron, same thing. Okay, cool. Rehab assignments, George Kirby, Trevor Rogers, Cade Cavalli, Zach Geloff, Kershaw. But Kershaw, I thought, had to stop. Maybe it was somebody else who had a shortened one. I think it wasn't him. I'm taking that back. I'm going to say it was somebody else. Brandon Woodruff, Nick Fortes, Ivan Herrera,
cool.
Kyle Wright, Ryan Weathers, Soroka, who is... Cy Young in AAA right now.
Yeah.
He had looked like he was going to check the stats. Looked like he was going to come back. And then they said, one more start. Show it to us. And he just mowed down whoever the hell it was he played. I watched highlights of it because I thought that was really good. Was he like after every strikeout, like looking to the camera, like, where's the manager? Like, who's watching me? Like, call me up. So I don't think he's going to have another one. I think he's going to be up for the weekend series. For Washington, because they're off Thursday. I had a quick look when I was trying to figure out why he wasn't up and how this is going to affect everybody else in the rotation. But yeah, he looked good. Jake Cronenworth as well. And then Zach Eflin. So lots of guys working their way back.
The one that I think could be interesting, there's a lot of folks that are digging in hard on Augustin Ramirez.
Yeah.
Nick Fortes is a really, really good defensive catcher and was their starter to open the year. And he is one reason why Augustin was down in AAA to open the year. So, I like Augustin a lot.
Yes.
Is Augustin going to be able to hold on?
Is this a new song you've done?
I was just going to say.
Oh, this is really old, actually. This is from 2020.
Will you be the ace of this
team? Hey, Soroka.
Yeah, Mike Soroka. Oh. This is when Mike Soroka was relevant. That's how old this song is.
What do you mean was relevant? He still is. I could only pick him up this offseason.
Here we go, ready? There you go.
Okay. Anybody who says you don't hit the key of Weird Al and in a complimentary way, I mean, people are missing out.
Thanks, buddy. Anything else in the news? Final call.
Yeah. Oh, we've got people sent down. Will Wagner.
Yeah.
Well, who
Jake
cares?
Berger.
Jake Berger.
I think that one must have hit you. You're the one who was commenting on it in our chat.
Painful. And then Craig Yoho was also sent down. So,
Yoho. Not a homer's life for him.
As my daughter likes to say when she hears that somebody has an oblique injury, because I had to explain what an oblique was for her. Oh, he hurt his tummy? Yes, Jazz Chisholm Jr. has an oblique injury, so Jazz hurt his tummy. That's what I put in our news.
Gelof's rehab was paused? Oh, crap, I missed that. That sucks.
No, okay. I guess I didn't hear
that's
that
what Eddie's saying, due to stress in the ribs, so keep an eye on
Hunter Dobbins is up for the Red Sox. This is kind of a really good swingman type of guy. Mm-hmm. They've got a handful of these type of guys in their system right now.
Uncle Ted favorite, too.
He's an Uncle Ted favorite, but he is very likely going to be only until they get everyone back where they need to be. Lucas Giolito just came up, then Walker Buehler went on the IL. So
yeah,
I think once you get everyone back up to full strength, hey, if you have Tanner Houck doing what Tanner Houck did last week,
yep,
you know that rotation starts to look a lot.
He's turning the corner. I think Houck's going to be better rest of the season. And if anybody traded for him or picked him up, you're probably going to benefit from that. Also, Cutter Crawford, he'll be back eventually here, coming back from the knee issue.
So. He's coming back soon. So
a lot of guys.
We can skip over. I put in all of the April players of the week or month. Okay. Let's skip to our Carrie Underwood.
Oh, sure. Jesus, take the wheel streamer? Yeah. By the way, Uncle Ted hit. This is like the best one of those.
Yeah.
Stick your head in the bull's ass or you can trust the
bull. Oh, wait. It's got to be your bull.
Yeah, I was going to say, did I know the line correctly? Because you can know it correctly and you can know the screw up and the double points for knowing the screw up.
Like, somewhere that's how you know he's come full circle.
It's got to be your bull. Yeah.
Well, Jesus, take the wheel. Who we got this week, Robbie? Did last week's work out?
Last week's was Feltner. No, Feltner was in progress, and then he got hurt, so we didn't get to finish it. Last week I said Gusto, and then Houston put a pause on it for, I think it's going to be one full turn through the rotation, then they're going to go to six man apparently. So that one got kind of like void, not for anything he did, but something within them getting Wes Neski going and whoever else, McCullers coming back and all that stuff. So I think they're going to do a smart thing of like, let's not make everybody pitch every fifth day and, you know, whatever. So that one, murky lines. But this one, I'm putting a ton of pressure on Uber All-Star Cal Raleigh here because my boy Jerry DePoto has brought Emerson Hancock back up. After 9 2/3 innings in AAA, 3.72 ERA, only two whacks, which he was whacking a lot up in the show, and 12 Ks.
So is Reese McGuire?
I'm assuming he went down. They did a little, we're going to get you to do these things, and he just responded well to it, and we're getting to see him come back because he was looking, and he's as a major leaguer, has not looked the part of what was expected of him. There's the three line 23-4 and the brief period in 2025. It's all been ugly. But now perhaps there's been some little tweak and adjustment where he could come up. And I feel like right now Seattle is rolling. He is going to play tomorrow against the A's. I have written down Oakland because my brain hasn't adjusted yet.
Oh, man. Sorry.
And then they're playing against Toronto this weekend. And I couldn't figure out. I don't know that he's going to be in that series, but it's either Toronto, which would be more of a gift, and then versus the Yankees next week, which would be the two-start week, and it's Yankees and San Diego, which is not ideal. However, it's West Coast for San Diego. He's going to stay on the West Coast for the Yankees and San Diego.
Are you saying you're not sure if he'll be a two-starter this week, or are you just saying
I think he's going to get pushed to next week? Because typically I try to pick a guy on Tuesday who will get two starts the following week. And I
did
think
my rankings last night. I didn't have him in there. I would have ranked him.
But what I really like is the fact that he went down to AAA and the K's went up and the walks went down. That's just an obvious little look at it. But also just listening to DePoto speak about confidence that they have in Cal Raleigh to be able to help. You know, Logan Evans came up for his first start. He had, I think it was a one pitch out. So that was good to like officially get that going. And then beyond just getting him to fight through five innings, I'm hoping that he can come out and really help Cal Raleigh can really come out and help Hancock settle and fight through. So if he's not landing where he wants to, if something, you know, not getting, we've seen a million of the pitchers, guys from the bench getting pissed off at ump calls, you know, ump shows this year. If that's not working, keeping him focused, and especially when Seattle's, you know, mowing them all down, like winning every friggin' series they're in, his starts are going to be really important. And in division with Oakland is going to be a big one. And then again, next week Yankees San Diego, most likely the two matchups. Definitely San Diego. I can't imagine he's going to have another one on Sunday against Toronto. But yeah, I really like this for Hancock and Dynasty guys out there. This is somebody you can acquire right now, because anyone who's got him in a deep league, if it's 15 team even, which I'm considering that to be shallow, you know, they're going to be willing to part with him if you can give them something else. And you got to understand that this is like, you're looking for wins. You're looking for him to stick around, things that are not things he's typically done. So the asking price can't be too ridiculously high, but perhaps you can find one of your surpluses to get yourself Emerson Hancock that could really help you out down the stretch if he's going to stick in that rotation and have finally turned it around. Because Logan Evans, they can't be asking to stick around for a long time. No. And Kirby's end of month, and Gilbert, I think end of month, best case scenario for both those guys. So there's starts to be had here. And then whoever knows what happens, you know, in between now and when they should come back for those guys.
So have you guys heard the why there's been so many quote-unquote ump shows this year?
No.
Athletic just had a really good article on this, that apparently over the offseason they decided to, at the owner level, change the enforcement of the shadow zone, so the area around the strike zone that is allowed to be, you're allowed to be making a mistake as an umpire. Mm. Where if you call one in that area a ball and it was actually a strike or vice versa, you don't get in trouble for that. That went down from 2 inches to 3/4 of an inch, and the players were not involved with that discussion. So
wow,
that's more than half having the allowed space for an umpire to call without getting in trouble. So that's a kind of a big issue. But
jeez.
So that's a big deal. It's a story on Athletic. You gotta, you know, pay to subscribe to read it. But it was a very interesting story to read all the way through. I will highly suggest for those who have the means to subscribe to take some moments to read that story.
Yeah, I get you logged in on that.
I think it's advertisement time.
It is. Real quickly, Durf Boys checking in on live chat. We love you, live chatters. And this is for redraft. Kasperius, or do you stash Bubba Chandler? Hold on to Kasperius, Ben. Yeah.
Come on.
And redraft, that's
Bubba Chandler on a team that can't win a friggin' game to save their lives. They're as bad as my Rockies. Go with the team that's auto wins. They can have six on the board before he throws a pitch. Instead of six against.
There you go.
In all reality, it's not a bad way to go at it. Kasperius is up now, and as long as he pitches well, I mean, I'm sorry, but Tony Gonsolin hasn't looked great. Dustin May hasn't looked great.
Tony's first start, he struck out 9, let's be fair.
Well, strikeouts...
You mean like bigger pitcher? Well,
the stuff was really around the zone. They just happened to not hit it. And his stuff is best when it's falling away from the zone and guys are swinging over the top of stuff that's missing the zone, because he's setting them up so well. If he's near the zone, that scouting report's going to get out there pretty quick and the balls are going to be leaving the park, because he is kind of homer prone. But May's velocity was there, his location, not at all. And so, that was the Braves game on Sunday that you saw May, and you saw what happened. Austin Riley took him deep twice. That's just it. And Eddie's got it right. If you offered Kasperius straight up for Bubba Chandler, the owner would want to punch you. And I'm assuming he's talking the Chandler owner, which is absolutely true, but it's because you've got upside in Chandler that really isn't necessarily there with Kasperius, but you got to have a job first. And right now,
it's today and tomorrow, Ben. Right? Kasperius is here today if you need it in redraft, and Chandler's tomorrow. But honestly, Pittsburgh has found a way to make really good players not fantasy relevant, and Skeens is fighting his ass off to be the code breaker of it all. And I know that they lost Nick Gonzalez opening day, and Spencer Horwitz has not yet got to come up, and that's your first base, your second baseman, and they need that production. But like, still, they haven't supplemented with, you know, good veterans. They've supplemented with, oh my God, who am I thinking? Tommy Pham. They brought him in. You know, they're not handing out $15 million for decent guys on a 1 year deal. They're handing out $4 to $5 million at most, right? Yeah. So that's why they keep on they're not churning. Yeah. They're not doing what Baltimore did and stacking the minors with guys that do come up quickly. So it's
speaking of guys in hand, your update, Smith Shauver is now through 6 no hit. So pretty solid.
Having an elbow questionable tag, I think threw a lot of people off. It was just a delay. He's great. So congratulations for those who added him last week or last night, and you're playing him. Now, on the Palazzo Podcast, we bring you one of our silly ads. It's never a real ad. It was an ad once upon a time. In fact, somebody paid a lot of money to make these ads once upon a time, and they were produced by people once upon a time. Palazzo Podcast, Benjamin, Robbie, and Michael will be right back after this.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo Podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with the healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
Every time I hear that song, I think beef. It's what's for dinner.
What's for dinner? Yep.
I didn't get it. Was blank the whole time for me.
what?
Yeah, it's
you didn't get no beef?
Great commercial, and I'm like, he's commenting on the fact there was no commercial.
Beef, it's what are you talking about? He's saying beef, it's what's for dinner.
Yeah, I did not get it was blank.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what happened there. But I took the time to check in all my dynasty leagues, and Smith Shaver is not in a single lineup. So no one was expecting this. I just checked seven different leagues.
He's in every one that I own him in, but that's two, unfortunately. And I did trade him away in the offseason.
That's okay.
I got a really good return.
You're a wheeler and a dealer. And by the way, Eddie's wondering, what happened to the Sexy Nestle ad, Robbie Sexy Nestle's commercial? It never goes away. It's over here. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's here. Just letting you know it's here, Eddie, okay?
All right, know that it's a great commercial when you have to spell it out six times during the commercial.
That's right.
N-S-T-L-E-S.
All right, Triple A hotties who throw baseballs, whether they're curveball, sliders, fastball, screwballs, palm ball, ephus.
I was wondering what pitch was going to get you to, like, dog level. I mean, you were going higher and higher. My dogs are going to start barking here pretty soon. No, we're going to start with two guys from Milwaukee, one of which is a stud prospect, one of which came up last year and didn't do so well. But they're two stud hard throwers in AAA, Jacob Mizorowski and Carlos Rodriguez, both 23, both right-handed, and both have really started out very solid this year.
Yeah, I'm so excited with Rodriguez's bounce back because last year, like his 23 to 24 off season, everybody jumped on in, myself included, is like, now I can finally go get him. You know, I didn't have him in the 22-23 off season, so I was picking him up, you know, the following year. Watch list guy, which we've mentioned before. You put him on the list, see how they're doing, and Rodriguez continued to roll, so went and picked him up. He got the early starts last year. He was not yet ready. And then he went back down to AAA, never got it together. And everybody just kind of said, I guess he was a one-off and a whiff and a miss and gone. He has recouped this year, 34, two-third innings pitched, 1.56 ERA, 1.15 whip, 38 Ks in the 34 and two-thirds innings, 11 walks. So he's not perfect, but that certainly is not in danger of losing, you know, hype, hope, whatever. Well, I guess doesn't have any hype left, but hope on him.
No.
And then Mizorowski on the other end. This is the one we've talked about, potential reliever risk last year. What were they going to do with him? Blah, blah, blah. He and Rodriguez, and I can't remember who else it was. There was three of them all had like great Ks, their opening series of the year. But he's kept it up. Mizorowski's got 43 in 35 and two thirds innings, 1.77 ERA. He has 17 walks. However, 1.01 whip. So it's okay. It's okay. Now, Milwaukee continues to throw everyone up but Mizorowski. And I don't know if Rodriguez ended up off the 40 man or not. I can't imagine.
They would have
removed him.
Yeah.
So which I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, Ben, is when we were talking about Patrick as well. And we said, you know, could be one of Rodriguez, Patrick Mizorowski is the last guy that should be up with that. And then I think it was Patrick came up right away after that. But Rodriguez has continued. So it's great. And Milwaukee finds a way to have these types of guys. They tried really hard to figure out a role for Bryce Wilson. You know, nothing was a fit in any area. Now, but these are all like good starters. So,
I mean, Quinn Priester's the guy now.
Yeah, which, that's right. Yeah, he's the new one they're working with.
He's got a decent ERA, but everything underneath, no. It just does not look great.
Is it still Carlos F. Rodriguez? Like Luis F. Ortiz?
I don't remember.
I remember that from last year. That's a way to tell that like they've kind of left him back. So usually any of the player pages, right? There's a note. Rodriguez, no note. Which personally it hurts me. Yeah,
the guy who debuted last year. That's
23.
Yeah. Just 23, and he's pitching very well this year. Yeah, I don't get it, but yeah, that's a
Kevin Maiton has notes. I bet.
Wow, there it is. Kind of time. By the way, just the Brewers, though, they have a lot of pitchers to deal with. So excited as we can be about any Brewers up and comer right now, Logan Henderson, etc. It's just going to be difficult with Aaron Civale and Brandon Woodruff. Don't forget freaking DL Hall. And they want him to start still, too.
Well, they sent him down here this week. So that could be, you know, I'm not saying that's to make room for any either of these guys, but also remember that Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, a lot of these guys have come up as a reliever, kind of cut their teeth with Milwaukee as a reliever. There's usually a little bit of finishing school that they were doing as a long relief, and then moved into the rotation either that same year or the next year or however they worked them in. But Milwaukee has been doing this for a number of years in that way. I think
I remember Freddie Peralta doing that.
I was really surprised that Carlos Rodriguez last year came up and immediately was starting. And that I think it was desperation. I honestly think they were in a desperate spot.
Which we saw again this year.
Fair.
Right? Yeah, we saw this move this year with Patrick, where they needed a guy. They brought a guy up that you're like, oh, well, okay, great. He's here and he's starting. And then, Patrick obviously had improved results over Rodriguez, but Rodriguez was just rough. I think he had three at most starts, but I remember his last one, he was just overmatched or just, could not compete last year. But they're stacked. I did see a comment that said something about when are they going to trade some of the veterans. I think with Milwaukee, you genuinely don't know what they're going to do because they might determine that they're not in a position to add salary. And when they go to make a deal, sometimes the teams are expected to eat the remaining $3 million or whatever to get a better return. And a lot of times that can be a path that gets blocked in deals when money's not moving. So I don't know, where you would need, because you're a competitive team in the NL. You need one of your NL successful pitchers to go to the AL to be able to be successful. And it's harder to do that if these guys are coached up and, teams understand that they've done really well against the competition, not just against generic hitters. They're not 104 miles an hour blowing it by anybody, and they've got a splitter that bounces off home plate. Guys are swinging at it, so it could be difficult to make those deals. Of course, we'd always like to see players move to get somebody get an opportunity, but maybe there'll be a rookie or two that moves for some of that wily veteran depth. That I don't know if Milwaukee's gonna do it. But maybe they'll try to up on that end.
Milwaukee and Cleveland are very, very similar in their trade.
Yes,
That Cleveland has been usually more on the hitting side. That, hey, this guy, why can't we get him into the lineup? Why can't we get so and so into the lineup? Well, it's because we go out, we spend $10 million on Carlos, Carlos Santana to play first base. Well, then he blocks bringing up CJ Cephas or blocks, whomever might be at the, in the minor leagues, because they're a very minimal spending team. And if they've invested $10 million in a guy, that guy's going to play. That's just the way it is with these organizations. And so,
Let's talk about an old man. How about a 26-year-old named Ian Seymour?
Yeah. Fascinating.
He is. if you go down to that Arsenal breakdown, he is your kitchen
the
sink.
What? Oh, Arsenal, guy. Not arsehole. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's go down in there.
He has kind of that kitchen sink mentality. He is your, when you hear about a guy getting drafted in like the fifth round out of college, who's a college lefty, this is kind of your ideal, thought of their 5-6 pitches and can locate them all, and none of them are very good. That's kind of, but because he can really locate, he can do quite well in the minor leagues. It's kind of you're essentially your modern day Jamie Moyer, but the game is kind of passed beyond that guy having success.
So you don't see a future that is bright fantasy wise for Ian Seymour.
No, unfortunately. I like him. I think he's got a lot of talent as far as being able to locate the ball. It's just that the stuff he has isn't going to really allow him to be. Yeah, and Eddie makes a good comment here that Seymour's in an organization that develops pitching well, and they go out and they acquire guys like Joe Boyle and make them better. And they have. And now Joe Boyle still doesn't even have a spot. If you can't get a guy that's throwing 100 miles an hour and figured out how to locate it, what are you going to do with a lefty that doesn't have that kind of stuff? You're just going to leave him, sitting down in AAA. Good point. So
fair enough.
We did have a guy who made a major league debut this year or this week in Blade Tidwell.
And Blade, right? Not Blade.
Yeah, Blade. Yeah.
Oh, we'll look at this real quick. We just have to shout him out because he's leaving. Hey, guys, I've been lurking and loving the show. I have to get going, but I'll be back. Good stuff. Texas Rangers Clubhouse. Wow.
Thanks,
you
man.
Run the Texas Rangers Clubhouse? Have you introduced Brett Boone to everybody yet?
No.
He just arrived. I don't even know if he's...
Actually, that might be a not happy clubhouse right now because the guy that helped to bring Corey Seager in has just been fired. Their hitting coordinator that they had. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Texas Rangers Clubhouse. Thank you so much.
Blade Tidwell is 23. Everyone loved him coming into the year. He's had some blow-up starts in the minors, so his ERA and WHIP look really rough. But overall, like the strikeout to walk is 37-10. That's not bad. 37 strikeouts in 27 innings. That's very solid. But his ERA is 5. It has a 1.33 WHIP, and that's really because he had a couple really nasty starts at the AAA level. But the major league debut did not go well. 3 2/3 innings, 6 runs given up, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Tidwell did not fare well, and they sent him back down to the minors.
His page is not loading on that site for some reason. I don't know if that's an ominous sign. Bad news, but who's next?
Next one is kind of a fun surprise. Or did you have someone you wanted to bring up, Robbie?
No, I'm just excited for Mick Abel. I'm just very, very excited.
Gosh, for all of us who've been waiting for so many years,
I am
for Mick Abel to finally be that guy. And it took him on his like second or third try through AAA and moving back in the rotation. Because there was a point last year he was moved into the bullpen, and now he's back in the rotation. And
Abel does not have bullpen. He's 22 starts, 24 starts, and then 7. So I don't know when the bullpen time. I know the threat, like Griff McGarry was the Phillies bullpen. Who's back in the rotation?
That's right. That's who it is.
Because we talked about him. That was 2020.
I think they were talking last year that both of them were going to likely end up there because of issues to that
Abel
point.
Abel went from top of the rotation talent to mid to I don't know if he can do it. And now he's looking super clean. 39 and a third innings, which is a lot of innings early in the season. 42 Ks, his walk number, where was that? I was looking at 17. So Mizorowski level with that, but 2.75 ERA.
It's lowest just so nice. Walk rate of his line. Minor league career.
Yeah, 1.29 WHIP. It's all pretty. It's all pretty for somebody who was a top flight pick, and in 2020, picking a high school pitcher in the first round in MLB has always been common. But in fantasy, it was getting more popular because that's when everybody was excited for J2 guys. So youth was good and college was boring.
But this is
his best line. It's early. This is his best line in his professional career so far. And it's early May. So
the thing I really like so far this year, all 5 pitches, if you'd look at that arsenal breakdown that Gauvier had up just a second ago, and you don't need to bring it back up, but he's been a guy who has lived off the action of his four seam and has thrown that as much as 2/3 of the time. He's throwing it less than 50%, and all 5 pitches he's throwing now are 100 or better stuff plus.
Great job.
Wow. Mick Abel, way to go, buddy.
Huge improvement for him. I mean, so do I think it's all going to keep going? We'll see. It's a really high swing rate. It's a really high chase rate. And sometimes those things come back down to earth, especially once you get to the majors.
17 walks. Am I reading? He does have 17 walks in 39 innings. Am I understanding this to be correct?
Yeah.
That's still nerve. That makes me nervous.
It's not great.
It's not great. Yeah.
Robbie's in full salesman mode, like me trying to sell an ATV.
You got to understand the situation here and that we're dealing with a guy who's turning the corner and we're looking forward to that number, reducing below. And again, Mizorowski, who we're all high on, has the same number of walks in fewer innings.
Right.
So
is that Virginia Slims? You've come a long way, baby. Was that their motto?
I think you're right, but it's oh wow.
Or was that Benson and Hedges? I don't know. We used to call them vagina slimes when we were immature children. Anywho. Lots of podcast 2Ls, 2Z.
Utah, give me two.
So
okay,
here's one that you do need to pull up, Micah, and the Savant, if you can get it, just because it's pretty to see this much red on the slider bars when you pull up Bubba Chandler.
Oh, bye.
He has been a stud this year. And he is the only guy I have seen who has multiple pitches over 105 on the Stuff Plus in the minor leagues. I have not seen any other pitcher so far. I've seen a few pitchers who have one pitch that's over 105. I have not seen all four of his pitches are 105 or better, but he has two that are better than 105. I've only seen one on any other pitcher. And usually it's like they have one that's 108 and then everything else is like 92, 97, all that. And they're living off of their one 108 pitch.
Wow.
This is a freaking amazing thing to look at. Like, you know, it backs up everything you're seeing on the mound right now. Guys just cannot square him up. And that's the big thing is he's, 7.7% walk rate. That's great. But then he's striking out 40%. holy crap.
Man. So he's pretty good then, huh?
Yeah.
And Bubba Chandler, he has potential.
Yep.
I think Robbie was spot on earlier. It's a matter of you're coming to a team that probably isn't going to give you a whole lot of help. And what's that going to do for you?
I don't care. I picked him up in Tout Wars this past weekend. Yeah. And I even had to sacrifice, because in Tout Wars, you can't add guys and bench them. You have to play them if you add a guy. So I'm sacrificing a spot, hoping that Bubba Chandler will be up in the next week or two, tops. So we'll see.
That could be a bit of a reach, but it would not surprise me if he is up before Memorial Day.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going to be up this week. I think he's got – it would surprise me if we get to June 1st and he's still in the minors if he's doing this.
I agree. Oh, sorry. We got the update. Eddie says Bubba should be up this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
He should be.
Lock it in.
Another thing to notice is he has not really been cut loose on innings in any start so far. I think he's got 6 or 7 starts, and he's only thrown 25 and a third innings.
How dare you, Eddie. Disrespect Modlinski.
Yeah, but he's amongst the others who was supposed to be something and wasn't. So, but let's keep going so that we can finish our show tonight. Cleveland has Parker Mezick, a left-handed 24-year-old. Not as many innings as some of the others we've mentioned. 27 and two-thirds, 325 ERA, 1.19 whip. 39 Ks, we're all excited about that. 13 walks. So just let's keep in mind roughly the same walks per nine as Mick Abel. Okay, so if we're going to be excited about one, we've got to be excited about the other. Thanks so much. Cleveland always has a guy. I don't know if this is the guy, but this is a guy.
This is their Ian Seymour, who's producing well in a system that does a good job of making guys produce well.
There we go. So well
said. And your next one is Zebby Matthews.
Yeah. Who is
intriguing, primarily. His numbers are good this year. 34-9 strikeout rate over 27 and a third innings. Matthews has picked up about a mile and a half on his fastball.
Wow.
And he's kind of thrown, he's kept at least a mile an hour bump on a lot of things. This is impressive. And I kind of would like to see the Twins bring him up and give him some innings, because they have plenty of pitchers that they could move away from. But
that's what Eddie wanted to know before the show. He was posting this pre-show. ETAs on Zebby Matthews. Any shots in the dark on this?
He's been up already. So, it's not – he's on the 40. I can't imagine – he does this for the rest of the month and doesn't get at least a spot start. But
yeah,
to take a job is a whole other thing. Right. And, if the Twins would decide we're not in this and sell off guys like Pablo Lopez and some of them,
ooh,
then you have some options. You could potentially open up a spot for a David Festa, for a Zebby Matthews, someone like that.
Simeon Woods, Richardson, Chris Paddock, those guys. I feel like there's an exchange that could happen for one of those guys at the very least. Also, look who's here. Matt T. Matt Thompson of the St. Louis Master himself. He says if the Skeens plan, his next start should be in the big – if he's on the Skeens plan, his next start should be in the big leagues. See Matthew Thompson? Everybody follow Matthew on Twitter. He's a great follow, real good guy. I met him in person in Arizona. I enjoy him.
Matt's good people.
He is.
Kate Horton is our next one.
Everyone's so depressed because he didn't get the call. What do you mean he's not coming up?
Who did get it? Did they call
it? It was Miley. It was a reliever. No. It was it wasn't Wicks. It was just some other reliever named Glenn something, I think.
Okay, because I kept telling folks, I'm like, it makes a lot of sense for them to go with Jordan Wicks because he's, you know, been there. He's done that. He just kind of slides in nice and easy into the rotation.
But they also brought Chris Flexen up. And he pitched 3 innings the other day. He's on their roster now. Whether you like Flexen or not, he's also an option for them to throw in the mix here. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
I like to see what Horton has done. Horton is putting up the type of numbers you want to see out of a guy with his talent. I think, Robbie, we go right along that line. 13 walks in those 29 innings, you're not a whole lot different than someone like Mazeroski, someone like Abel. So let's remember that.
Yep, I will bring it up. Don't worry. If you don't, I will. I got it.
and Horton is one, I will tell you, the FIP right now is about 3 times his ERA.
Really?
It usually tells you that there's some things he's kind of getting away with.
That's not half a run.
He is, but it's not. It's also his ERA, if he goes up to that, is still something like 330. Which is not half bad, you know. So we'll see. Absolutely one of the elite prospects in the game. I want to see what he can do in the major leagues. That'll be a lot of fun. I posted this in the Palazzo Discord. I posted his Arsenal breakdown and had folks guess who it was, and it took a long time for anybody to guess whose Arsenal that was. He is very, very two pitch heavy. That is the one thing I am a little worried about with him coming.
I was just going to say that looking at this breakdown, I'm like, other numbers are there, but
it's like 80%
Strider bust here, guys.
You're going to talk Braves?
Wow, dude.
Woohoo, Braves talk.
Polar Knight says, as a barber, I love the show. And the men's cams we get every stage of beard growth. Thanks, Polar Knights.
Am I finishing school? I cleaned it up today. You know,
it looks really good. You're in prime beard territory right now, I would say.
I did that too. You know, I just
that's missing something, but the beard looks great. So.
I don't know.
Braves update.
He gave up a run or a hit.
In the eighth inning, they let him go.
He got into that far.
Eighth.
Wow, they did?
And he gave up a hit. Wow. Single, but still gave up a hit. And of course, he's getting pulled immediately because of that. But
Eddie, real quick here on Kate Horton. Eddie says that Horton has some sex appeal. With Imanaga getting hurt, they might be a sell high for me. Might be able to package him with another player for a bump in talent. And you got to remember that suddenly the Cubs, who I thought had a lot of starting pitchers coming into the year, guys, you look now, it's a lot thinner than it was losing Justin Steele. And with Imanaga hitting the IL, he'll be back. I know he'll be okay. But also, Javier Assad is not – he had a setback. He's not ready to go. Ben Brown's, like, fully in the rotation now, and I didn't know if he would get a chance this year to fully get in there.
He's solid lately.
Yeah.
His second last start was not a good one. His last start was exactly what he needed to do to rebound himself to kind of lock in a position for him moving forward. But, it's interesting. It almost – like, you wouldn't regret the trade with Houston with Smith and Wesneski to have Wesneski in your rotation, but at the same time you think about, like, well, I mean, you know, there were free agents at the time that the Cubs were linked to and other players, and then they made the trade. And anyway, we got two pitchers left before we get to the PCL. So Adam Mazur with Miami. We know Miami has the ability to do this, like some other teams we talk about, develop these guys. Mazur, formerly from San Diego, 24 years old, 29 innings,
South Dakota. too.
27 oh. Ks, six walks. So the walks are good. the Ks are not as dynamite as you want below one and in.
He's absolutely a mid rotation type of guy, or even like 4 or 5, but he really struggled in the second half of last year. Even when they sent him back down to AAA, he struggled, and the location is the big thing. He is able, he is just spotting the ball where he wants right now, and his stuff is such that he lives off of creating ground balls. Now, the last guy I put on here is a 35-year-old in the minor league. I believe he's pitching Korea, in Mexico. Last time he pitched in the majors was 2021. So, you know, some of us were still on lockdown at that point. He is Robert Stock in the Boston system. 28, 2/3 innings, 2.83 ERA, 1.19 whip, and a 39-14 strikeout to walk. 39 strikeouts in 28 and 2/3 innings. Now, he has been up to the majors. He had one long relief appearance when he got called up. He gave up a run in 2 innings. But, yeah, I'm not saying this is a guy to go rush out and roster, but it's a really fun one to talk about, you know. So
not to be confused with Robert Stack.
And Casey Lawrence is the MLB straight AAA version of Stock, where he's been able to do it at all levels except the big one. So Stock might, I mean, with all the Boston arms, Stock.
Hey, there we go. That's right. I forgot about that.
Gross. He was a catcher. I lost all interest. Former
turn it off.
Barf. Here's one thing for you. Did you know that Kenley Jansen has still, in his professional career, caught more innings than he has pitched?
I did not know that. Wow. He must have caught a lot for a minute.
The innings that he caught in the minor leagues before he transitioned, he has still caught more innings than he has pitched.
That's a great piece of trivia, Ben. Nice job. That really is. That's cool.
Well, let's continue the transition to the PCL and go to San Francisco, where we're going to double it up. We've got Carson Seymour and Carson, CNC, Carson Seymour, Carson Wisenhunt.
How many Carsons? Three Carsons? Ragsdale? Is he still around?
You know,
we've got another Carson when we get to the next team.
There's a lot of Carsons, man.
But we're not going to get there. So Seymour, 26-year-old, 32 innings pitched, 37 Ks, 15 walks. Wisenhunt, who is 24, is 30 innings pitched, 31 Ks, 5 walks. And this is a change for Wisenhunt, much needed. The lowest walk rate of the career is the note Ben's got on him here.
That's
what they need. And now, you know, you'd mentioned before, Ben, about Harrison would have been on this, but now he's up and in limbo with what's going to happen the rest of this year. These two guys, maybe they keep going. Was Keaton Wynn? I didn't actually look at him. I'm just curious. He should be back pitching. I don't know if he is or not.
An exciting time to be Keaton Wynn.
Yeah, I remember when he was on the cusp and then he got hurt.
He was a cusper.
One thing to bring up on Wisenhunt. Wisenhunt has been a top prospect. He's done some work on his overall stuff, which is partly why he's controlling it better. But it also doesn't have the same level of movement that it once did. He's still getting decent strikeout numbers. I mean, a strikeout per inning.
Yeah.
But he can get squared up a lot better now. And that, in the PCL, is a reason why he's carrying a 4.50 ERA. And, you know, even with a very low walk rate, a 1.23 whip. So that's a little worry if he would get called up to the majors that, you know, he pitches in the same division as Arizona and Colorado, and those two parks would definitely not make life fun for him. So,
also, Keaton Wynn, 10 innings so far this year at AAA.
Okay.
Great 10 innings they are. They're only 10 innings, but 3 starts, 10 great innings.
How many walks?
Very little. It's actually 10.
Just want to get a ratio.
12 Ks to 2 walks.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Nice start.
That's a solid.
So he's a sleeper for anybody there. Yeah. So you guys ready to move to Coors?
I want more Carsons in my life.
Coors.
Yeah. So here's one no one's going to be happy about, Ben. Carson Palmquist. The 24-year-old lefty, 37 Ks, 14 whacks, 1.19 whip, 4.30 ERA. It's still with the Rockies, okay? So, but you've talked about Red with some other guys here. There's some red.
Lots of red there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, how does this transition? I just want to know what the perfect Rockies pitcher is. I always thought it was just fastball changeup, like drop off slider, you know, like you did something where you have the one pitch that will just dive, because they talk about movement issues. But yeah, there is
sweeper.
You're right, Kobe. There is no perfect one. It's Brent Honeywell, who's still unsigned at this point.
Oh,
and getting that knuckle back. Yeah. But anyway, they also have a relief pitcher that could be of note. I did go off the deep end with what's his nuts? I think it was
Jaden
last
Hill.
Week or 2 weeks ago with the other one. But they also still in the minors have Jaden Hill.
Why can't 25-year-old. I thought he could be a closer for them. Is he really that terrible when he came up?
Who?
Jaden Hill? Did Hill he come up for a split second this year? And I missed
him. Oh, yeah. And he's pitched well when he was up, but he's just – Jaden Hill was an elite college starter, and I think mm-hmm. they tried to keep him there for a while, but he just got hurt so much as a pro. They moved him into the bullpen, and 19 strikeouts in 10 and a third innings in the minors this year, five strikeouts in 2 2/3 in the majors. Strikeout stuff as a reliever, but –
It wasn't awful. Like, I don't know why they bailed on him right away. I don't know.
It's the Rockies. That's why. I was just saying, it's the Rockies. Well,
you know? Come on, though, guys. They do have, and Hill could be part of this, a decent back end of the bullpen. Zach Agnes was the guy I talked about last week.
Yep.
And
he has a really good mustache wax.
Okay. So. He also has two saves and a hold. And in one with 1K after having, I think it was 1.3 million Ks in the minors, he's changed it up, has not allowed a run. It has been the opposite of what you would think was going to go on, but the results have been there. And then, Colorado is not interesting, but they have things that you could maybe be excited about. And of course, things we would hope they all get traded, right? They all get traded somewhere else, but anyway, they won't. The Cheaters, Houston, of course, I'm referring to. They've got Colton Gordon, a 26-year-old lefty. They don't mind letting their prospects age. You know, in the minor, Shea Whitcomb is another one.
And they usually find guys out of nowhere.
Ronald
Blanco. Turn into something. And this is their guy that has kind of popped up in AAA this year. A lefty who's 26, striking out right around a batter per inning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just, I mean, and a 2.48 ERA in the PCL. There? So,
there?
What?
Oh, wait. I thought I muted it.
Talking about Houston, but that's okay.
I mean, things can be kind of shitty in Houston.
Is there poop in there? That's great. That's great.
Oh my god!
But, yeah, funny, man. You're right on it with it, Ben. Gordon's come up and he's not. I don't think he's on the 40 man, but he could come up and do something if asked for Houston, and if they move to the 6-man rotation, that just bumps him one. Depth spot closer. I don't know that they would go from 6 down to 5 if they're thinking logically about it. Some teams do that until the next injury, but Gordon could find himself sliding up and
look at that. Zero pitches, yeah. I think. Is it? Yeah, zero pitches that are over 100 on the stuff plus.
Yep.
Yeah. But he makes it work, you know, right now. So
if it's a Houston pitcher, I always take note. They've over the years enough given me enough confidence, even if they are cheaters, Robbie, that, I'm going to take a look. So
yeah, they pitch him up. Like they, you know, similar to Milwaukee and Cleveland, as we talked about before. A team that has struggled to pitch him up.
Yeah. It sounds like Tupac's hit him up.
Yeah.
That's what that reminds me of.
Are you smelling a remix? Are you smelling a remix?
I am. I'm smelling a... I don't know what it is yet, but there's like a
music,
Rockies...
If you're doing music, I'm in.
There's something here. We'll find it.
Okay. Go ahead. The Angels have not been able to convert, but I do want to reference everyone back to Zach Neto and how
he's good.
His career there are a lot of people who need to apologize for the organization that drafted him lessening his perceived ability, because he is a legit fantasy actual baseball, like a very good player, and he's showing it, which is awesome. And I do wish I had more dynasty shares of him. And he's been excellent. But Caden Dana, who is a 2 year ago pop up type guy, he's only 21. He got to debut last year. I think he came up. Was it three appearances, three innings, or two?
Yeah. And they brought him up from AA, and he was only 20. And it was
that was when they were skipping everybody from AA up. And but in the minors this year, 25 and 2/3 inning pitched, 31 Ks, 10 walks. 2.45 ERA, 1.25 WHIP. In the majors, we're gonna, it's small enough, you know, sample, we're gonna ignore it. Three innings pitch, two earned runs. But Dana seems like a slow burn guy who we got to see too soon. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're keeping him around is nice. You know, just don't leave him. But this might be Corbin Burns. It's gonna take a lot longer than we expected from the debut, but not from an age standpoint, because he came up when he was 20 years old. So need to collectively score our Jets on that one. But you can't talk about prospects without going to the Dodgers, guys.
Oh, except that they're borrowing a guy that was a Rule 5 draft pick last year. And
but Matt, are they borrowing it? Didn't they have Sauer before and then he went?
No, he was a Yankee.
And
then
I knew it was one of those stupid teams. But yeah,
they got him this offseason, and he's 26, still only 26 for a guy who was eligible to go to the Rule 5. But they fully threw him into the bullpen this year, and he was very good in the bullpen in the minors, 14-1 strikeout to walk rate. Then got to the majors, and he's actually been okay there too. 6 2/3 innings, 4 strikeouts, no walks, 2.70 ERA. This could be a pretty solid middle relief piece for them. I mean, just what the freaking Dodgers need is more relievers that can come up and pitch well for them. But I mean,
well, the starters can't, so they do need maybe like a 12-man bullpen with two starters, and they can just roll that around.
They won the World Series?
Oh boy,
Brent Honeywell. Do you remember it was Brent Honeywell? Does
that Brent Honeywell was a Brent key? Honeywell? Yes, he was. Does Sauer have that many pitches? Yeah, I do have that video. Yeah,
yeah, he does
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I don't
two know hands. He throws.
Well, look at how many what the percentages are. You see that a very high percentage of them are the first two pitches.
Well, he's double digits on the first.
Double digits on others, which is good. You want to see that. But, yeah, a guy who has that kind of repertoire going into the bullpen is going to be tough for teams because they don't know what they're going to get. And he's not going to be a guy that comes out and blazes 100 miles an hour at you. So you need to have a little bit of depth of arsenal in order to be able to succeed.
Arsenal.
And he has that. Yeah, that's a great word, isn't it?
It's an intense word, very intense arsenal. All right, well, I got to go. So that's going to end the show. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yay! All right, everybody, we did it. We got
through. Now,
we tried to get through.
We can. Robbie, are we talking lower level guys next week? I thought we had a break in here or something.
Hold on, one of my pieces of paper here that has show notes and other things has it. I believe we are going to lower level hitters, and then we're circling back to double A and other notable pitchers the following week.
We gave names of lower level hitters, but we did not really get in depth on them.
We wanted to give them more
names.
That's right. So, we named names.
We named the names.
There are so many potential double A pitchers we could mention, but we'd rather give them two more starts or so before we really dive in. So,
and the final update I'll give you is the Braves did not pull Smith-Shauber. They let him work through it, and he got through 8 innings tonight, 1 hit allowed, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts.
Four walks. Wow, that's crazy.
But good had for a him. No-hitter going into the 8th inning.
I still think Diane Myers had a better night, though, going 2-for-4 with a steal. So
I'm not
going
to debate this, but, you know.
That's right. I love him so much. Eddie says, thanks so much. See you Friday. Thank you, gentlemen. Also, I know you talked with him in the chat about Robbie Snelling, and you got him all excited about him, Ben. So now he's more excited about Robbie Snelling.
Well,
if you
looked him up, you're going to keep getting more and more excited because
I got a couple Dynasty shares. I'm ready. I just don't know when or how, but the Marlins suck, so why not? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and he's left-handed. They have a lot of guys. They don't have a lot of left-handed guys. And that
they got Weathers coming back, which will be good for their lefty sides. But you're right. They are kind of short in that area. Govea, remember to flush going forward. Yes, I know. I can't believe it. Now, that is true. I left poo in the toilet. It was not Leanne. It was me.
Oh, my goodness. So,
it's more complicated than that. One day I'll tell the story. I will reveal the truth.
No, that's okay. We're good.
She wants to know too. No, she wants to know.
That's for your Patreon.
When you that's right. $3. Get the Mike story.
Mike's dog training videos, and you're like, wait a minute. You train him to do that? Well,
that's right. Except our condo doesn't allow dogs. Uh-oh, I'm busted. Snelling for redraft this year? It may be way it's down the there, but
yeah.
Now, do the Marlins go fire sale and get rid of half of their starting rotation? I mean, they might.
And they, I was going to say, they have the ability to do it and replenish with, you know, with taking him. Back the Ryan Yarbroughs of the world, in addition to throwing some supplemental prospects up for it. But
I mean, Max Meyer might be the guy as of August 1st who has the most experience in the rotation. But do they want to do that?
Right. You slow Yuri Perez down. You wait till
Don't do that.
You wait till Griffin Conine's ready, and then you bring it all together because that's the core, baby.
There it is. Perfect that we could. Yeah, I don't know how that didn't happen until that moment. Thanks, everybody. Lots of podcasts. Two L's, two Z's. Make sure you follow Ben.
Give me two.
I'll be baseball. Big Gentle Ben on Twitter, X, everywhere else. I'm MJ Gobi. The Discord's free. You can always talk baseball. We got a lot of great discussions in there. Description has the link. Congratulations to AJ Smith Schauber on 8 innings of wonderful outing. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden. It's cruel sometimes. But it might just the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.